ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We thank you for listening to Kevin J. Hood here on ESPN 1000. Thanks to Jesse Rogers. Thanks to you for calling and listening to the program. We're back tomorrow between 7 and 10. My partner is in Connecticut covering college basketball as we turn it over now to Carm and Yurko. Pop, 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 pop.
Boys, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
What's going up? On?
Morning, boys. By the way, the sponsorship for Crosstalk is Sports Bettors. Get in on the original sports betting action. Watch and wager on horse races from across the country with the app that the one and only Carmen DeFalco uses, Club Hawthorne app. I use it as well. Great odds in every race. Betting in just a few easy click live stream races. And their awesome handicapper, the great Jim Miller, appears on the Odds Couple and the Carmen and Yurko Show weekly. Download the app or bet online at clubhawthorne.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You could have kept the mustache at least through the hockey season. I mean, and actually, when you look at you now, he'll grow back, looks like, in 24 hours. I mean, my God. Yeah. I mean you talk about the 24-hour. I mean, you already got, it's already growing back.
By dinner tonight.
Yeah. No. Maybe if the Hawks make the playoffs, we'll get the playoff scruff going again. We'll see.
Karen and the kids will say, Dad, we thought you said you were shaving it off.
They were like, thank God, is what they said. They're like, oh, my Lord.
How do you have the 5 o'clock shadow when you shave at 5 o'clock?
Listen,
yesterday.
I only clipped it down. Like, I didn't actually go, you know,
you
like
didn't put
razor.
A razor on
right,
there.
I didn't put a razor on there yet. Yeah, so.
I thought the mustache was glorious.
Did
it
you
took
like
you
it?
Back to old country. Yes.
I mean, it really did.
Yeah.
I think I could have been a coach in town with that mustache. I don't know. Maybe I'll grow it back.
The response I got
somebody
when somebody
give me a job.
Took a look at it was, what in the hell is he doing?
That's about right.
Or what is he thinking? I said, hey, tried it.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Tried it. Something different.
Just something different, exactly.
That's what I said. To your defense, something different.
Dude, that deep fake stuff is, that's spooky, man. I mean.
Oh, my God.
It's spooky. It really is.
It is not for good. It's cool and funny. Like, hey, I could. It's going to be Yurko. I can make Yurko like do jumping jacks, or I can make him run 100. But it's not Yurko. I just put his face on a body, and it sounds like Yurko, but it's not Yurko. Now let's have Yurko robbing a bank.
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Well, that's
all.
Not right. That's not right.
I don't like it.
So that's the thing that's really scary about that.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
It's.
You know?
Really scary. It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's a movie come to life, actually.
Yeah.
Like, well, we've seen this, like Face Off, right?
Right,
is that
exactly.
Travolta?
Yeah, it was Travolta and Nicolas Cage. Yeah. Face Off.
Yeah, like,
oh,
I get that, like, in a movie. But
Pastor Troy.
Yeah, but in real life, I mean, that's tough.
It's almost like the Mission Impossible movies, I guess. That's why it's kind of coincidental that if Tom Cruise, you know, they've got they pull the face mask off and it's somebody else.
Wait, it's Scooby-Doo come to life.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Oh, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those damn kids.
Right.
So tell me, Carm, I know you have some gambling kind of, I guess, bent when it comes to the Bulls. There's got to be some angle you have with the Bulls. Is it overs?
The Bulls continue to be a pretty good play as an underdog, guys. You know, look, they lost as a dog Friday and again on Monday, so it's not infallible. It's not perfect, but... the Bulls mark now is a dog, I believe, on the year 15-9 against the number. I'll take that, you know.
Yeah. Carm, what about as a road dog?
I'd have to filter that out, Cap. I'm not exactly sure, actually.
I think it might be even better.
Yeah, it might be even better. But overall, I think it's now 15-9 against the spread is the count as an underdog so far this year with a lot of straight-up wins. And, you know, if you felt strong enough to play them on the money line last night, you cash and you feel good about it.
I mean,
even though they almost blew it.
45, 46 points they give up in the fourth quarter against the Pelicans.
That was crazy.
Come on,
with some of the, you know, the bench really kind of got them back into that game, and then Stan Van didn't even go back to Lonzo.
Yeah, it's fine.
But yeah, I mean that was way too close for comfort last night. And the last 40 seconds of the game took forever because they got back into it. It was so close.
Just like so I like that the Bulls cap. They were able to rebound the Pelicans and look at it. I mean, you have Zion, you've got Steven Adams, you've got Ingram, and they still out-rebounded the Pelicans. So you like that from Wendell Carter Jr. I like that.
He came up with a big rebound late.
15? What do you have, 15?
15 rebounds.
Yeah.
And he got a big one late when they needed it.
So
you won
on the glass, and that's fine. I'm just saying, man, if you have no resistance defensively, and I think part of the reason, Cap and I have talked about this too, like Bulls come across very small. If
well, I think
like
they
Wendell
are.
Carter, like
yeah.
they're too small to defend in the interior.
I don't think they have the center that they're really looking for long term. We were discussing that after the loss a couple of nights ago. I think you're right.
He's a big man that doesn't play big. 6'10" is a big man.
Yeah.
He weighs 260 pounds. WC.
Yeah.
He needs to be better. He needs to be better. He needs to be tougher.
6'10" should feel like 7'1" with the length, right?
Right. But and you should be able to combat individuals that are an inch or 2 inches taller than you. It shouldn't be so monumental. He's a 6'10" guy that plays against big men like he's 6'6".
Yeah, and he's not 6'8" or 6'9".
Right.
Yeah, he's 6'10", yeah. You know, which still, maybe there's a 7-footer out there in Europe that AK is busy scouting right now that we don't know about yet.
Yurko, let's get those names out there. What do you mean?
I'll get Knazovic on
it
right now.
Get Knazovic on it.
My European scout. He's in Ankara.
Let's not
forget. He's in Constantinople right now as we speak.
AK was the man in Denver that said yes with the 41st overall pick. Let's go ahead and take Nikola Jokic. Yeah, let's hope he can find somebody like that again for this team.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
41st pick.
I watched that guy the other night. He plays bully ball, and then he steps out to three and drills it from the corner.
He can do it all. He makes free throws. He's getting more comfortable shooting threes. He's the best mid-range player probably in terms of percentage in the NBA right now. He can play strong. Like Cap said, he can bully you and bully defenders down around the basket. They can run all their offense through him. He's a great passer. He's a good rebound. Like, he is everything. And I saw that stat after they won here. They went to Milwaukee on Wednesday. Oh, no. Yesterday was Wednesday. That would have been Tuesday.
Right.
They went to Milwaukee on Tuesday and spanked the Bucks, and he had another triple-double, and he joined Wilt Chamberlain as the only centers in NBA history with 50 career triple-doubles. And he's still going, boys. I mean, like, it is crazy how
he's
good.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
Request has been made.
What? Okay, good. It's been made.
You got your guy?
We're going to find one of
those
guys.
I got him. I'll have all of it. No, hopefully it takes a while to get to Turkey, though. And
say,
remember, it's early in the morning over there.
No, it's late in the afternoon.
That's what it is, late in the afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah, I had it the
opposite
way.
It's like 7 o'clock, yeah.
The opposite way.
It's about 7 o'clock.
You know what, Yerk, that's good cell service. I mean, right away, you get the response right away. He's got the good phone.
Verizon.
Sometimes technology is good. Like, that's when it's good. You know, we can text the guy in Turkey right now, and he gets it, you know?
Yeah, it's
bad
good.
When they do deep fake.
That's pretty good.
That's good technology.
He didn't even need Sarah to punch it in.
No.
Sarah, give me Mount Pilot. It wasn't that at all, Cap. No. He just punched it right in. One text by Yerk, boom, he's got the guy.
To our European scout.
Top five.
By the way, did our boys see the meat suits that we're going to be wearing?
I didn't see the meat suits.
I saw a picture of it on Twitter.
I got to go on Twitter and look at it.
Meat sweats, they're calling it. Not the meat suits.
Yeah.
Yeah, meat sweats.
Is it on Danny's timeline?
You said it was a yogging outfit.
A yogging outfit.
Yogging.
Yes. For yoggers.
I don't know.
There it is right there.
Oh, my Lord.
People on our Twitter said.
You guys look like Lady Gaga in those.
I love the top hat, I'll tell you that.
You remember when Lady Gaga wrapped herself in meat?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you look good with that hat on?
Yeah, I look like Pharrell Williams.
I'm happy. Pharrell, yeah. you will have a little Pharrell in you. That's good.
I don't know about that, man.
Wow, look at that thing.
That's a good look.
I mean, the people on.
Yogging. Soft J.
Yeah, I don't know if I can.
Yogging.
Oh, you pull it off, kid.
You pull it off.
If Lady Gaga can pull it off, you guys can.
I can't go back to the South Side with that.
Oh.
I mean,
you'd be surprised.
Man. The hat, yes. The rest of the outfit,
maybe not. The hat would, I mean, that's $200 at a haberdashery.
At a haberdashery.
Yes. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I can wear that.
I don't know.
Man. I mean, but here's the deal. Like, Cap is the one who paid for the sandwiches, and that's what we get in return.
Right. Really?
Right. I mean, that's
60 bucks. Carm, $60 for three sandwiches.
Yes. $60 for three sandwiches, and all we get is these meat sweats and a hat.
That's a lot for three sandwiches.
We just imagine that at the Final Four at the convention, all the coaches.
Imagine?
You know, Chicago State, Illinois, you know, Alabama. Meat sweats.
Meat sweats.
He's got Arby. He's got the insignia Arby right there.
Arby
Cube. Coach.
Baby.
Coach. Yeah, yeah.
All the fast foods.
Coach of Arby's. How you doing, man?
Coach of the Arby's.
Have a crown for Burger King.
Right.
The Golden Arches instead of the Golden Arcs.
They got the Golden
Arcs.
Arcs.
Oh,
I got the Golden Arches.
Yeah.
No, they've got the Golden Arches. I've got the Golden Arcs.
Yes.
Now, see, they're McDonald's.
We're McDowell's.
McDowell's, which is coming back soon.
I can't wait.
How soon is that going to be on Amazon?
I think it's
Sunday.
Is it this Sunday?
I think it hits streaming on, I think it's Sunday.
Now, it's not a remake. It's like a continuation. He apparently comes back to find a son he didn't know that he had. Coming to America is one of my all-time favorite comedies. I mean, all-time.
Phenomenal.
It's so great. And so I'm excited. I mean, it might stink. No, Eddie and Arsenio haven't done anything in forever.
Eddie won't let it stink.
I hope not.
He won't let it stink.
Carm, one of the best things in that movie was when, out of nowhere, the two wealthy dudes from Trading Places.
It's great.
Mortimer, we're back.
We're back. He hands him the wad of money. I mean, it's fabulous.
The greatest.
I was watching, Eddie and Steve Martin did a movie probably in the late 90s called Bowfinger that happened to be on late the other night.
Yes.
I was watching Bowfinger, man.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy just makes me laugh, man. It's a silly movie, but it's still funny. Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy together, it's pretty good. Heather Graham's in it.
Should we have the crack crab or lobster? Can't we have both?
Can we have both?
Crack crab and lobster for everybody. There's Hoodie on his boat, and I'm laying on the beach.
It's Trading Places, baby. That was on recently.
Did you ever notice? Yeah, it was on the other day.
Yeah.
At the end scene, Eddie Murphy's wearing a sweater.
Sweater. On the beach.
On the beach. Yes. He's wearing a sweater.
Yeah, he did have shorts on, though. He had shorts and a sweater.
Doesn't make any sense, though.
No, it does not. Just like the winter scarf. Also, the summer scarf. Also a little odd. What time can we see you today, Cap?
Well, you won't see me, but you'll hear me.
Yes.
We're working in trailers at the NBC studios. I have my own, and then my partner Todd Harris has his. Tim McCormick has his, and Jock Collinsworth has his.
Oh.
And
what about Jack Ewing?
No.
What about Jack Vaughn?
And so we are not allowed to be in the same room with each other. We had to take COVID tests again. Thank God I was negative. And you'll be able to watch. Let's see. Game one is going on now. I've got the second game coming up at 1 Eastern. And then I've got the fourth game. So that'll be George Mason, George Washington.
On NBC Sports.
SN. NBC SN.
NBC Sports Network.
All right, man. See you in the morning.
Yep.
See you, Cap.
I've never done TV in a hoodie and sweats, but that's what I'm wearing.
Good feeling.
Carmen and Yurko.
That's it.
Are next.
Sports fans, believe it or not, the road to the Kentucky Derby is already underway. You can get in on the action every weekend with Hawthorne Racecourse. Watch and wager on this year's Derby contenders at Hawthorne or 8 Chicagoland Club Hawthorne locations, including the new PointsBet Sportsbook in Crestwood. For locations, hours of operation, and service, visit clubhawthorne.com. Plus, live racing returns to Chicago's hometown track in just 2 days, folks. This Saturday, the Thoroughbred Spring Meet will begin. It's March 6th, full fields every weekend through April. Big races, great odds, only with Hawthorne. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Hey, everybody, I'm Joe Lenardi in for Carmen DeFalco today. The Fighting Illini have secured a number one seed. I wish I were Joe Lenardi. I'd feel better about saying that. I don't know. But I'm saying Illinois is a number one seed.
You say it,
kid. I'm saying it. That's it. I'm saying it. Michigan's going to be a number one. Illinois is going to be a number one. The end of the season is here. Last games this weekend. Then they go into the conference tournament. But I don't think it matters. I don't think it should matter. It's Carmen and Yurko. Welcome in, everybody. We got an action-packed Thursday for you. Make sure you watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app and search ESPN 1000 Chicago. And we kick things off on our Corona hotline right now by welcoming the head coach of the Fighting Illini. Brad Underwood is with Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Coach, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming on. And that was something that you treated basketball fans and Illini fans to a couple of nights ago in Ann Arbor, especially without arguably your best player. I mean, that was a dismantling of a very good Michigan team. And you said it afterwards, that has to be about as good of a win as you're going to find in college basketball this season, right?
Well, yeah, I give a lot of credit to our players. And without Io's not just our best player. I think Io's the best player in college basketball. And for guys to step up in that role. I loved our grit. I loved our fight. I loved our tenacity, our toughness. And that's what you have to have this time of year. And, you know, especially on the road. And Michigan is very, very good. They've beaten all comers this year. They're statistically and analytically up there on both sides of the ball. And, you know, it was our night. And but we had Adam Miller. We had Andre Curbelo. We had Trent Frazier. We had everybody step up. And their roles changed a little bit with Io out. And that makes a coach happy when you see guys that step into those roles and excel.
You know, we're all watching that game, and at some point we're expecting Michigan to make some sort of run, some run somewhere. You guys suffocated them. What'd you guys do to kind of eliminate any chance of that happening?
Well, everything starts with Trent. And, you know, I've said it all year long. Trent Frazier is the best defensive guy in the country. He never gets screened. They're a team that relies heavily on the three-point shot. We didn't give them a lot of those. I think they had 7 attempts. They hit a couple early in transition, but, you know, when you start locking down the three-point shot, we made them play two-on-two. Kofi's a very nice wall to have back in front of the basket, and again, it was a team effort, and we made very few scouting mistakes, and that's what can happen when you play really hard and tough and then don't make a lot of mistakes.
Not only is Trent a great defender, but just what is a player like that, a veteran player who's kind of been around and, you know, now enjoying all the great successes that you guys are having as a program, but to have a little bit of a, if you can have a veteran presence in college basketball, you've got it in Trent Frazier. That's got to go a long way, Coach.
It's huge. You know, that's why it made senior night so tough. And I get emotional anyway, and I'm not a big senior night guy because it means the last one. And, you know, for Trent Frazier and Damonte Williams, they've seen a lot of teammates go, and you know, they've withstood it, and they've been the essence of what our program is about, building our culture. And one of my all-time favorite pictures happened in the Michigan game when Trent's shooting the technical, and we have 4 guys arm in arm, and it's a rear view picture. You see Trent's back shooting it, and you see all 4 of those guys connected, and that's our culture. And Trent Frazier, Damonte Williams, those guys embrace that, and they're about that. They're about winning, and you know, that's Illinois basketball.
Illinois head coach Brad Underwood is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. With that win the other night, do you think you guys secured a number one seed for the tournament?
Well, obviously there's still basketball left to play, but I you know, as you guys just said in your opening, and I said it post game, you'd be hard pressed to find a better. A better win in college basketball on the road than that one. Beat number 2 on the road, and especially where their analytics are. You know, I think it helps. Obviously, we've got you know, we've got another top 10 team in Ohio State, another team vying for a 1 seed. I think it puts us in that. I think the Big Ten analytically is considered right now the number 1 conference in the history of college basketball in terms of the numbers. So with that, I think, you know, you're looking at least 2 ones and maybe a 2, you know, and a 3, if not 2 twos. So I think we're right there in that conversation for sure.
You mentioned post game after the Michigan win that not only is Io dealing with the broken nose, but he was also or is also in concussion protocol. Can you give us an update, Coach, a couple of days later and what the timeline looks like and what you guys expect for Io to be back on the floor?
Well, everything with the concussion protocol is day to day because you have to wait to see how the recovery process goes from the day before. And although our team was off yesterday, Io was not, and he pushed himself through a pretty strenuous individual workout, and you know, we'll see what his reaction is today to that, and you know, he will be a participant in practice, but we're expecting. You know, day to day at this point, and we never move forward beyond you know, that process as anything can happen with a concussion.
That complicates it a little, doesn't it? I mean, if the broken nose on its own, he puts the mask on and it's a little bit easier. But if, you know, you probably can't answer yet about when you expect him to be back on the floor, whether that's the Big Ten tournament or the NCAA tournament. The concussion certainly sort of cloudies that picture a little bit more, Coach.
Yeah, there's no right answer. And, you know, so you don't speculate. You know, we're going to bring Io back and put him in a situation where he's 100%. He feels right. He's normal. He had a tremendous amount of swelling, you know, with the nose and the puffiness around the eyes, just to get the mask to fit right and comfortable. And, you know, so it's all about making sure Io's in the right place. You know, and he's 100% before we even think about bringing him back.
You took over in 2017. 2018, 2019, you guys were 12-21. Then last year, good year. This year, phenomenal year with a lot of people think you're a totally legit title contender. Is this about the timeline that you expected when you got to Champaign? Is it kind of following what you had visioned what you had envisioned when you arrived in Champaign?
Well, I don't know if there was a timeline. You know, it's so hard. To me, it was always about doing it right and laying a foundation and establishing your culture. And, you know, I say this, you know, winning's really, really hard. This league is incredible. And, you know, nobody's just going to let you pass them. You know, a year ago, we were, you know, Io's freshman year, we were so young. We knew what was in store, but I love that team. I love the foundation. Last year, we're playing great and obviously don't get any experience in the NCAA tournament because of the pandemic. And yet, you know, these two guys come back in Io and Kofi. You know, you had Adam Miller, you had Andre Cabello, Coleman Hawkins, you know, Jacob Grandison, Austin Hutcherson, who's out again this year with the back. And, you know, you're excited, and you know that you've got veterans in Trent and DeMonte and Georgie, and you know, so it was the right time this year, but I didn't really have a timetable on it. I wanted to make sure the culture and the foundation was right.
I love Andre Curbelo. I mean, that kid's handle he seems to have the dexterity and the feel for playing that important position. What's the future look like for Andre Curbelo for you guys?
Yeah, it's pretty bright. It's pretty bright. You know, Andre's unique and that he's played so much on the world stage. He's played against older guys. Even though he's a freshman, he's got a tremendous maturation because of all that experience. There's very few people as gifted as him with the basketball. He's got great hands. He's got great body control. You know, he's a basketball savant. You should see his scouting report, you know, the notes that he takes, and he studies the game, and he sees things that, you know, be quite honest, I mean, you're like, okay, you know, we see that as coaches because we study it every day. You know, he sees it the first or second time and knows what he can do. So he's gifted. He's really blossomed on the defensive end. He's matured. His body's getting stronger, so he's got a tremendous upside.
Coach, you've done a wonderful job of recruiting and bringing athletes down there. Is there any way you can help the Fighting Illini football team bring some athletes down there? Because, man alive, that program has been struggling
for
a
double duty
time.
Coach.
Yeah, could we put you on triple duty by any chance?
Well, I'm a big believer in Brett, and I think he's going to do a great job. He's got unbelievable pedigree, and he's got great moxie and charisma, and he and I have had a lot of conversations, and I'm excited for the football student-athletes because I think they're getting a heck of a coach, a proven winner. And, you know, we can't you can never underestimate the value of success, and Brett's had that. And, you know, I think he'll do the same thing and lay in a tremendous foundation. And you know, players will want to come play for him, there's no doubt.
Now, you guys wrap the regular season here this weekend, and, I mean, you talk about another tough team. Like you said, a lot of them are tough in this conference, and you got to go on the road. They got you guys in your building. So is it almost better, like, this weekend's opponent going to Ohio State, you know, coming off of that Michigan win? Because that seems like the next game could be a big letdown, Coach, after such a huge win on the road in conference. Are you sort of glad that, you know, you're going into a spot where the kids probably remember, hey, they got us in our place, let's go get them in theirs?
yeah, they popped us. They were terrific that day. EJ Liddell was really good. I mean, you know, they had us down double digits in the first half, and you know, we're they like to think we're playing a little better right now than we were then. But you know, they're again a team fighting for a one seed, and as you move forward in this league, it seems like every opponent's ranked, you know, if you don't bring it, they've had a week off since their last game, so I'm sure they'll be well prepared and ready to fight. You know, we'll do the same. And again, we're kind of taking that approach. It's the next game up, and you better be mentally prepared, physically prepared. And if you're not, you know, in a couple of weeks you go home and you put the uniforms away. So we got to use this as an experience to grow from, and that's the way we're approaching it.
Well, I know you guys have work to do, but it's been a fun year already. I mean, it's taken us all back to 2005 and just how into Illini hoops everybody was. But you guys are legit and terrific, and that was a great win the other night. So good luck going forward, and we appreciate the time, Coach.
Guys, I appreciate it. Thank you, and stay safe.
All right, you too. There's Coach Brad Underwood of the Fighting Illini, at Coach Underwood on Twitter. And he did best he could to kind of update Io. But when you find out he is not only dealing with the broken nose, but in concussion protocol, it does make it a little trickier. So he's got to kind of pass those things. He talked about a good hard practice, which is nice, but can't get any definitive word yet on when Io might be back, if that's for this weekend's game against Ohio State, or if they just wait it out to the Big Ten tournament or possibly the NCAA tournament. 312-332-3776 is the number. If you want to join us, we'll talk more hoops on the other side of a quick break, including the Bulls making it way too close for comfort, but getting a win on the road in New Orleans yesterday. I want to talk a little bit more about Zion with the good kid, too. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Kobe White over Ball.
Nice.
Temple to White for three.
And a foul. Sriracha.
Leading the shot clock again. Here's Kobe White. Long two. That's good. Into double figures, Kobe White goes. Here is White behind the screen. It's a three.
But you can't do that now. He can knock those shots down.
Levine looking for another assist, and he's got it to White.
Bang, bang, bang.
Adam Amin, Stacey King, NBC Sports, Chicago last night. Bulls go on the road and win in New Orleans, although it was way too close for comfort. They let a huge lead slip away and end up winning by four. They were a small underdog going into that game last night. Another big night for Zach and Kobe. You know, they combined for 76 in the first meeting between the Pels. They popped for 61 combined last night. It was another 35-plus point game for Zach LaVine, who puts a little exclamation mark, I guess you could say, on his first half as the Bulls have reached the All-Star break. There's a few more games tonight, and then it's All-Star weekend. Zach's going to do the three-point shootout. It's amazing that Zach has polished his game and improved his game enough where he's appearing for the second straight year, right, in the three-point contest. And that, you know, you just see it in the way teams guard him now, especially last night. I mean, Stan Van was pretty adamant that they wanted, when Lonzo was matched up against him, and Lonzo Ball's a good defender. He didn't play a lot last night. He only played about 25 minutes because I think Stan just rode the bench. That got him back into the game mostly. But you could tell that when Lonzo was guarding him, it was going over screens and not meeting him on the other side. I mean, like three years ago, could you have imagined? Maybe we should go back and look at the tape, but I can't imagine teams would have made the decision to really kind of chase Zach, you know, chase over the top of screens. That's how much better he's become at nailing that three-point shot and being comfortable rising up and taking
shots. I think that's sometimes why we've got to be a little bit hesitant to be too judgmental on individuals, especially when they're young.
Yeah, I mean, he was such a young kid coming out, too, right?
There's going to be improvement. Yeah, there's going to be improvement. There is improvement from the time that you're 19, 20 years old to the time you get to be 24, 25. That's a lot of time to become a better player.
Yeah.
And usually you have college to become that better player, but once you show signs of life at the college level, all of a sudden, okay, this guy might be a tremendous pro. He comes on. There still has to be development. And obviously over the course of time, he developed. I mean, did he develop suddenly and magically under the current coach?
No,
or
I think
did Billy Donovan, or was he doing a little bit of that under the past regime?
I think he was. I mean, I think Zach had started really getting better about
it. And now
a year
Donovan
ago.
Brings yeah. it out. Maybe.
Yeah.
With the systems that he runs and the way he does it, all of a sudden he ends up bringing it out. But hey, when you shoot 43% from the 3-point line, you're doing something right.
Absolutely, man.
You are doing something right.
Yeah.
And he is obviously, and if you look at his statistics, Carm, I don't have him in front of me, but if you look at his statistics, his shots are about the same. Total shots taken per game are about the same. What's he doing? He's shooting better.
He's making them.
He's making shots.
His true shooting percentage is the best it's been.
Right. Yeah. If you go looking from last year to this year, you look at his shots are almost damn near identical.
Yeah, Yurko's right.
So he's not getting more opportunities. He's just doing more with the opportunities he gets.
There's 0.4 shots per game difference in his field goals attempted from last year to this year. 0.4.
Right. But Carm,
and his three-point attempts.
To Yurk's point. 0.4 less.
0.4 less.
He's,
that's true.
He's averaging
3 points
more per game.
On 0.4 shot,
less shots.
0.4 less shots per game.
It's so much more efficient.
Yeah.
Yes.
The 3-point attempts are exactly the same. But last year, he was at 38%, which is still very good. Now he's at 43.5%. So you're seeing.
So his improvement has come from being confident in what he's doing, having support of whoever's behind him. And he goes out there and he's just playing basketball right now.
Yeah.
And when you don't have to think and you can just play, you're in pretty good shape. But he's done it.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine's the guy that's done it with the help of what they're doing now offensively.
Yeah. And Zion to me is a marvel. I mean, I really think you want to talk about the sky is the limit for a player who will probably continue to get better, like you're
saying. Explosive card.
He is so nimble and so explosive. It's. I'm still not used to it. And I don't know why. I mean, this goes back a couple of years to that first year at Duke when he took college basketball by storm. We saw glimpses of it last year when he came back from the injury and he was able to play down the stretch of the season. You know, and last season was so weird because he had come back, he started playing, then the shutdown happened. And then, of course, he played in the bubble a little bit, but I shouldn't be surprised, I guess, but I continue to be surprised at his just how bouncy and springy and quick he is for a man his size, a man with his strength. I think at some point he will become a better rebounder. That's the one oddity in Zion's stat line in a lot of games right now. And although he was pretty good last night, he had 9 or 10. But, you know, you look at him and you go, he should easily be averaging 10 rebounds a game. But he's now played 58 career games. He hasn't even played a full season yet because of the injury and the pandemic last year. But he is averaging 24 points per game on 60% shooting for his career, and his player efficiency rating is a very, very impressive 25.8. This is a 21-year-old, whatever he is, 21 years old, I'm guessing, 22 years old. I mean, I get a kick out of watching him, and truly the sky's the limit for how good he is going to be. He stays healthy, and they got a special player on their hands. The Bulls almost blew it last night. And this is Billy Donovan again after the game, sort of walking that fine line of talking about how proud he is of his team, but how he still wants to see more, and they need to be better at finishing games. And if it were someone maybe a little bit more polished than the New Orleans Pelicans last night, it could have been a very different story because the last 5 minutes, it was ugly for the Bulls. And this is the kind of stuff, I want to play something for you, that'll really drive a coaching staff crazy. And it was driving Stacey King crazy last night as the Bulls were trying to finish off the Pelicans.
Late in the shot clock, looking for a closing bucket now. LaVine, the fake, and the score!
It's closing time. Nice move. Strong move by Zach. Oh no. Kobe.
Bledsoe just forced it up, and Kobe White again has committed a foul on a 3-point shooter.
Come on. You can't do that. Just play solid.
That's going to be 3 free throws, so the clock stops with 35 seconds left.
Here it is right here. Now, he tries to jump over the screen. He anticipated Williamson setting that screen and trying to beat him to the spot.
Yeah, it felt like a play you didn't necessarily have to make in that spot, right?
Just be solid down the stretch. You got this game. Make them have to force up a shot. Let Bledsoe take that 3-point shot.
Oh my goodness. Another foul on a 3-point shooter.
Come on now. Come on now.
Cannot be doing this
late in
the game.
Come on now. That's just poor execution right there. You know they're going to shoot a 3. Look at Billy Donovan. He can't even believe it. Why are you fouling? I mean, here it is right here. There's no need to even be over there.
Yep. Zach LaVine gets tagged with it.
There's no need to even challenge that shot. You're not going to block it. It's late game situation. Understand the shot clock and what the situation is if you're this young Bulls team. Because now you stop the clock. You give them a chance to knock down three free throws. You know, and they, if they get you in a situation where you turn the ball over here, you're, you know, we saw that against Portland late in the game.
Yep.
You just have to be smarter than that. You cannot have these kind of mistakes at the end of games.
And these are the first points of the fourth quarter for Brandon Ingram.
Because now if he hits this shot, it's still a one-possession game, and there's still a lot of time on the clock.
I mean, that game was way too close. And even in the final 10 seconds, it was still a one-possession game. And those are silly fouls. And Stacey and Adam are 100% right. And you know that'll be one thing. If they tell him one thing, if they told him one thing on the plane on the ride home or afterwards, or if they look at a little tape before everybody goes their own way for the All-Star weekend, it's like, guys, come on. We got to be smarter than that. You know, it just, that kind of stuff is unacceptable.
Points and, scored when the clock is stopped when you are ahead is a cardinal sin. It's a cardinal sin.
That's right, Yurt.
Do you have any points they had in the second half?
The Bulls or the Pelicans?
No, the Pelicans.
Well, they had like 40 in the fourth quarter.
45 in the fourth quarter, Carl.
What'd they have in the second half?
34, 45. You're looking at 79 points.
Oh, that's a lot of points.
44 in the first, 79 in the second.
How about that? Yeah.
That's a game you were walking away with.
Walking away with it. So, like, again, Billy's kind of walking that fine line. He likes the road win against a team that he said is pretty good. They're okay. But there are still a lot of teachable moments and a lot of learning that's going to be happening in the second half. But the Bulls are one of those teams right now. Like, there's only AK made this point a few days ago when he met the media. There's like three games that separate 4 from 10 in the East right now.
Right.
And don't forget, they're doing that play-in series. And the Bulls have a very legitimate shot at being a team that's going to get into the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. If I had to bet right now, I think the Hawks and the Bulls are both going to make it. And we probably weren't going to make that bet before the season.
Yes.
Right, Yurt?
It would not have happened.
I mean, it's good for the Hawks. It's going to come down to them in Columbus,
you're
right?
You're hoping they kept your attention long enough until baseball started.
Yeah, and it's a lot better than
It's much better than that right now.
The Hawks,
and Hawks got three against Tampa coming
they
up.
They start a brutal stretch tonight. They play three straight against maybe the best team in the league in Tampa. 9 of their next 11 are against Tampa and Florida, and they got a brutal stretch. But in their division, remember, the top four from each division go Tampa, Florida, and Carolina are probably locks, and I think it's going to come down to the Hawks in Columbus for that last spot. 312-332-3776. That's the number. It's Kermit and Yurko. We'll be right back. 10 o'clock hour with Kermit and Yurko is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Don't miss McKnight at the Movies, our Thursday staple at 11:30. So great last week. Connor's given us play-by-play of another classic
movie
from the silver screen.
That's right. Another movie.
And you will have a chance to guess and win. So we'll do McKnight at the Movies every Thursday at 11:30.
And if you joined us last week, we were going to tweak it a little bit this week.
A little bit,
A little bit of a tweak. A little bit of a tweak.
Last week you did Caddyshack.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
So I look forward to hearing what Connor's got on tap for us later today. Last night was a great night around the NBA. I mean, there were some awesome finishes. The Sixers and Jazz, Donovan Mitchell was real upset and went off on the refs a little bit. You don't hear Donovan Mitchell get too nasty. I mean, he dropped an F-bomb. Like, he popped on the refs. He was
not happy after getting
a couple of techs in OT. Embiid was a monster again. The Rockets stink right now. They've lost 13 in a row. They played with 8 guys last night, and there were only, I think, 5,000 fans in the building.
Right.
Smattering of boos for James Harden, but, I mean, the Brooklyn Nets won again, and Harden had another triple-double. I mean, he's like 20-1 for MVP. It seems like 3 guys have completely distanced themselves, that being LeBron, Embiid, and Jokic.
Okay.
But you made a good point in the pregame meeting.
Well, I simply said that there might be some anti-Harden.
Like the media could just kind of be sick of Harden.
The media, at the beginning of the year, they might do that. You know, they might do that. And if LeBron's got anything working against them, it's the same thing that worked against Michael.
Yeah,
you got tired of voting for Michael.
Right.
So sometimes they might get tired of voting for LeBron.
I mean, that Harden's 20-1 with the way he's played since arriving.
He's now down to 18-1.
Oh, whoa.
Okay. Well, that's a big move.
I mean, it keeps dropping.
I would think people have to be betting that at some point.
On FanDuel, your betting favorite is now Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Embiid's the favorite now. Wow.
Plus 240, LeBron, plus 260. But,
I think Jokic.
But, as Carm points out to me, and maybe I don't appreciate Harden the way, you know, a lot of the NBA fans do. He's leading the league in assists.
Correct.
And I thought James Harden was a ball hawk. Because every time you see it, he gets the ball up on the top. It's dribble, 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 shoot.
Yeah.
And obviously, you can't go by the highlights. You've got to sit down. You've got to watch him play his games to understand exactly what his thing is all about. The problem is, I'm not going out of my way. I never did go watch Houston games.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Unless it's a playoff game.
I'm sorry. Right? You know, or they're playing the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
So I don't truly appreciate what James Harden brings to the table.
Honestly, Garrick, the truth is, I think a lot of people have had this thought. Yeah. Watching the Houston Rockets with James Harden was not a fun watch because of just what you said. Look, he can tee up his teammates for open corner threes because of his ability to drive his step back. But he forces the defense. That's exactly what Daryl Morey asked him to do in Houston. So, you know, I'm not going to criticize James Harden for being as effective as he was in Houston. That's what the general manager surrounded him with on the floor. But aesthetically, as a viewer of said basketball, it was not always a fun watch.
It wasn't like watching Golden State. It wasn't even close.
Who wants to watch a guy dribble the basketball down, you know, on the shot clock, eventually choose to either drive and draw a foul? Like, hey, I want you to make your free throws, but I don't want to watch a guy shoot 25 free throws in a game, right?
Excellent point. It's never been aesthetically pleasing with Harden. Like, and I've made this point before too. Maybe a little bit more when he's young, but honestly, like, how much do you see James Harden these days play above the rim? I mean, he's like one of the great scorers in NBA history, and he just doesn't have to. The guy gets a bad rap, I think. I really, and I don't know what he's.
I'm confessing to being one of those guys that gave him a bad rap.
You know, like, and I dispelled that notion. It was at some point earlier
you
this
yelled
year.
At me. You
I didn't yell at you.
It's okay. Sometimes I deserve to be
but
yelled at.
I said the idea it's that James Harden is a ball, like all he does is shoot, is laughable because, and if you look at his assist rate going back over about the last 5 years, he's like seventh in the NBA.
Yeah.
Mirko just said it. He's leading the NBA. Assists per game. Yeah. I mean,
I felt bad.
He is great, but there's nothing aesthetically pleasing about it, I guess.
Pound, 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 drive.
Although his step back is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most fun thing to watch is when he can break a guy's ankle with his dribble and then his step back.
There's two things I've got. Who's got the best step back? That's what we've got to talk about. But more importantly, you said watching people do free throws is not exciting. But there are guys that you used to watch take free throws that I thought took them back. Chris Dudley doing a free throw? Yes. And then watching Shaq shoot free throws, one brick after another brick.
Wasn't it Jason Kidd who used to blow the kiss before everyone, right? That was part of his, for the kids. That was his thing.
Rick Barry shooting it underhand.
Yeah,
I mean, there were guys who went to the free throw line that I don't mind watching you guys do it.
Yeah, actually, the train wreck that was watching Shaq go to the free throw line was kind of fun for a long time.
The one thing I'll say is,
Shaq,
you brought up the MVP. Anybody who wants to bet James Harden to win the MVP, I will house your bet.
Yeah,
there is no chance in hell he's going to be voted the MVP after the way he forced himself out of Houston. No way.
Yurko said that earlier
point.
Today.
That's why I think the early season shenanigans.
That's why.
People will not vote for him because of that. Even if he deserves it.
I think you're right.
He may not get the vote.
I think Embiid and Jokic are better stories right now almost, you know, in a sense. So, like, I think you're 100%
And poor
right.
LeBron misses out even though he might be the best guy in the league.
Well, I just placed that bet. So.
All right, we'll see.
$5? Mortimer?
James Harden, what he he's done in the last month.
Dude, it's incredible. Yeah. I mean, he's got like 8 triple-doubles since he got there.
Randy goes home every day and he says, I made 50 bets today. And his wife's pulling her hair out of her hair. How much did you wager? $7.
I don't even know if that's possible. Well, what happened to CJ? I had CJ.
Whatever makes you comfortable. All right, now.
Sorry, CJ.
Drop backs. Step back. Best step back in the league.
I think that's Harden.
Doncic.
Right? I mean, Doncic is as good. You're right. He's very good at it. Dame Lillard is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think who else.
And the reason the step back could be deadly is because you have to have the ability to go to hole.
Yes.
You have to have that ability.
And those guys all have that.
Right. That allows you the space to step back.
Doncic's. That stuff is that. His is excellent. Dame's is excellent. Harden's probably the best.
Yeah.
I mean, you could find a whole YouTube video of just guys like collapsing on his fake and his step back.
I think James Harden specifically has really, now that he's been in the league for over a decade, I think he's actually inspired in a lot of ways what Steph has inspired. Young players who haven't even, reached the college level yet, they mimic exactly what he's done. And James Harden has really kind of spurred this revolution of the step back.
So the worst thing in the NBA, in my humble opinion, the Euro step.
Yeah, it's because
it's traveling.
Kind of like a
It's traveling. The Euro step is traveling.
Although some people argue with us on that. They say, guys, it's not. What are you talking about? It's
two
not
and
a first
half
step.
Going to the basket. Two and a half going to the basket.
The Euro step.
The Euro step is, ugh.
The Euro step's popular,
it's
though.
It's garbage.
Too. When we come back, are the Seahawks going to listen to offers for Russell Wilson? One longtime NFL insider thinks the answer to that question is yes. We'll discuss that when we return in just 2 minutes.